Y'all ready to get to business? I got to keep us on time for children's ministry this morning, and then I got to keep us on time at the 10:45 service because I got to fly out. Melbourne flights are always really weird. They're either super late at night or they're like right after this service. And I'm like, don't y'all go to church? Like, give a brother an opportunity just to hang out for a second. So if I, at the end of the 10:45 service, if I have to bolt, please don't think me rude. It's just that I got to get there, get through security, and be ready to fly out. I think at about 1:45 this afternoon. Thank you so much for the privilege to be here. Thank you, those of you who, let me ask you this. If you're in here with your Sunday morning small group or Sunday school, would you just raise your hand real quick? Let me just give you guys a shout out. Anybody up in here? All right, let's give these guys a big round of applause. Listen, as a pastor, when you start messing with people's normal schedule, they get a little wiry. They get a little bit out of shape. But I want to say thank you for getting up to be here at a 9 a.m. service. I want to remind you that these two services will be different. I'm preaching one sermon in this one and one in the next one. This is the conference style that they all build upon one another. So I really am asking you to make a sacrifice of your time. Stay with us in this hour and in the next one, and I believe God will speak to you. Amen? You ready? Play this with me. Jesus, speak to me. Expose my heart in your truth and heal my heart that it can become fruitful for you. Show me how to weed my heart. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You ever played the game, Would You Rather? You ever played that game? Now, I know some of y'all played it pretty some sinful stuff. We're going to redeem it this morning and have a little fun with it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you, and guys, if y'all can help me with the confidence monitor back here, if it'll work, I'd be grateful. I want to show you basically two pictures, and I'm going to ask you, would you rather? Now, these first ones are going to be a little warm-up, and then we'll step into our series, okay? So are you ready? Y'all ready? Here we go. Would you rather have a parrot or a bunch of pet mosquitoes? I mean, mosquitoes are the Florida and Alaska bird, and I'm over the old wives' tale where I live. They say, "Oh, it's a cold winter; we won't have near as many bugs." Tell that to the people that live in Alaska. I'm not worried about a bald eagle in Alaska. Not even really worried about a grizzly bear for the most part. It's all those mosquitoes that will overtake you by the time you're walking from your car to your hotel room. So, which one would you rather have? Would you rather have a parrot? Now, remember, a parrot can talk; he can tell on you. Or would you rather have a bunch of pet mosquitoes? We'd rather have the parrot, wouldn't we? We definitely would rather have the parrot. Let me show you another one here. Would you rather have a cat or mice? Did somebody say cat? I can't even believe I'm going to say cat. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's like there's something in my moral fiber here that I'm struggling with. But nobody wants a mouse. Nobody wants rats in their house, right? You ever been in those moments? You go out to the garage or you start looking through some cabinets and there you see those wonderful little droppings there. You're like, man, we better get us a cat, right? What's that big cat? It's like a house lion. What is that? The Mancala? Is that what that thing is? What is it called? Yeah, Mancoon. Man out your mind. Well, some of my friends have one. They invited me over years ago. I stepped in the house. I said, what in the name of Jesus is that? I am out. It's like Tiger Queen and King up in here. Yeah, so we don't want the mice. We would rather have the cat, right? Now, I want to show you something next. It's going to step in more to our series. These are just warm-ups. But before I show it to you, I want you to know, do you realize there are almost 50 species of weeds? Weeds, not weed. I know we live in Florida. I know they're trying to legalize it down here. Don't believe the hype. All they're trying to do with weed is the same thing they did with alcohol years ago, trying to tax it. And if you don't believe it, look where the legalization started. It started in Colorado, which is the poorest state in the United States. Outside of tourism, they have really no increase whatsoever. So the idea is, well, let us show you how it works in Colorado. And then we'll just prove to everybody we can get more tax dollars off of it. I'm telling you, that's not going to make us better. I'm telling you, it's not going to make us better. Now, I've got pharmacists that are in my congregation, and I've seen some medical practices and things like that. But I hadn't found any of us got self-control to stay the course. I don't have self-control with a hot chocolate chip cookie. fella. And I got to be honest with you. I'm tired of walking around in downtown or in stores smelling everybody that smells like a skunk. Hello? Oh, that's too much at 9 a.m. this morning, isn't it? Let me show you the difference between some vegetables and weeds. Let me ask you which one you'd rather have. Would you rather, go forward with me, guys, would you rather have chickweed or some lettuce? Did somebody say chickweed? No, we want some lettuce. Let us thank him, right? We want lettuce. I don't want any chickweed. I don't even understand when they put that stuff on my plate. One of these organic places, right? Would you rather, let's go forward, would you rather have some stinking nettles or spinach? Yeah, these things, I mean, when they start out, they say they're pretty good, but they're kind of prickly, right? I'd rather have spinach. I want to be Popeye the Sailor Man, right? Me fit to the finish because me eats me spinach, right? Now, let me show you one more. Would you rather have dandelions or okra? Yeah, can you imagine just walking around just eating some dandelions? How many of you unexpectedly eating that dandelion when you picked one up that had died and you went to blow it to look cute and you went, and it just sucked down your throat? Confession's good for the soul, me. Yeah, we want some okra. We want some okra, fried okra preferably, amen? I don't want no slick, boiled okra. I don't know who's into that stuff, right? Some of you are like, I don't want either one, Pastor, just to be honest with you. But here's what I want you to understand, guys, is that when it comes to growing, that you have to be convinced that growth requires intensive and consistent weeding. Anyone who grows any type of plant or garden or farm will have to constantly weed. There is no growth outside of growing not only what you want, but also that which you don't want. Weeds are mega intrusive. And as we step into our series, Trust the Process, here's what I want you to understand, that a believer, really anyone, but definitely a believer, has to have a systematic way to weed their heart that it may stay healthy, that it may not grow cluttered, that it will thrive. And not only do they have to weed their heart, but they have to understand that weeding is a part of the process and that it is in that process that they can trust the process because you are in the hands of a good, good God. That how it started may not be how it finished. And we believe that through God's power and His promise that our best is yet to come. Our best is yet to come. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. As Pastor Ann led into this, this is a parable. You can find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I've chosen Matthew just simply because it's in Matthew. and so let's pick it up again. If you've been with us through the first two services, you may say, why is he reading it again? Well, I'm going to read it again because the Word of God brings fruit. So read this with me, verse 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into the boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. So the crowd's growing. Hold on, press pause. The crowd's growing. Jesus goes to the boat. He uses the natural acoustics of the ocean to take it on in, and the water to take it in, and people are listening. Now, Jesus draws people. We've been saying this over and over. Our ministry, your ministry, you as a believer should be drawing people to Christ. So you cannot just, like, I'm too old to mess with people. People get on my nerves. That is the greatest spiritual warfare of the day. Because when you are so fed up with people that you're like, I'm retired. I'm supposed to have 5 more years. I ain't going to make it. I'm out of here. You start seeing Johnny Page, take his job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. And you try to get away from that. You have to understand, is that really what God wants you to do? Or is that just your selfish personal preferences? Because learning people in 2024 takes a little more energy. But if you're a believer, you got Holy Spirit energy. And he told us that My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That ain't shouldn't be covering the electric bill. That's going to work and not slapping the eyebrows off somebody. Come on. I'm a pastor. Y'all get on my nerves too. And I get on your nerves. That's why it's about the relationship. Amen? Amen. And so Jesus teaches them a parable, and a parable is an earthly story with a what? A heavenly meaning. So this is the parable. A sower went out to sow. Let's go forward in verse 4. And as he sowed, he's going to sow on four types of soil. The first, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And other seeds, that's the first. The second, other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, and since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. This is the hard path. This is the rocky path. And now the third. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. That's the fourth, and it's what we're going to talk about today, or at this first service. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Read it, church. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, this is what's going to happen, and what we're going to see in just a few moments is that Jesus, he didn't do it in every parable, but he steps back into this parable with his disciples, and he interprets it for them. We look at four types of soil. If you're taking notes, maybe this will help you. The first is the hard path. The second is the rocky. The third is the thorny or weedy soil. And the last that we'll talk about, the 45 hour, will be the good soil. But what Jesus is talking about is not dirt at all. It's not soil. What he's using is the soil as a representative of your heart. And the goal of Jesus, the goal of the scripture, the goal of walking with Christ is to take your heart from where it is now on a journey that it will bear and surrender to Christ. And the ease or the difficulty of that journey has a lot to do with the condition of your heart. And if you belong to Jesus, and he owns you, he bought you with a price on the cross, it is his intention to take you through a process that heart will look like him, that your life will look like him. And so just because the process may be a little difficult, it may be a little cold, it may be a little hot, it may be a little longer than you thought it. It is a reflection of what it takes to transform your heart. And so the heart that he's shown us so far is first the hard heart. This is the heart that has the hard path. It's worn. It's taken for granted. And the seed is sown on it. And what he says, the birds swoop down and they take it. But what Jesus interprets for us now is it's not just birds, the old dragon, Satan himself. He sweeps in and takes the word away from you because he knows that the word of God can penetrate a hard heart. And it'll break up that hard path and it'll turn it into just a worn path and it'll change it into a path of righteousness for his name's sake. You have to understand that sometimes what you're experiencing frustration has little to do with your affections not being met. There may be a bigger issue of a spiritual warfare going on. You have to think of when your pastors are preaching and they say something that kind of rubs you the wrong way, it's not because they were taking notes on you and following you around with a drone and like, ooh, this is especially for Melissa. Oh, this is for David. Yeah. No, the reason why you're offended by it is because the gospel is an offense to the comforted, but it'll comfort the afflicted. And so pastors didn't call your name. The reason you're upset is you are unaware of the spiritual warfare that's going on to try to snatch that word from you. If the enemy can't snatch the word, then he'll make sure the soil in your heart has a lot of rocks. You know, have you ever crossed a creek before when you're out hiking? You ever been fishing and you're trying to jump from one place to the next? Do you jump in the mud or where do you jump? You jump on solid ground. You try to find you a rock to land on. Some of us have thought that rocks really are safe in our heart. I can count on that. They ain't never going to do me like that again. I ain't putting up with that junk. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. And it's the deception that we can let all that pain, all the sin, all the old stuff just hide away the soil. You know, I've never seen seeds choke out rocks, but I've seen rocks choke out seed. And when your life is not as fruitful as you want it to be before the Lord, you got a rock issue. And it's not the rock of Christ, it's the rock of everything else you've allowed to be in there. And when it's exposed, you have to do the hard work of de-rocking your heart. And that's hard work, but the Holy Spirit will help you. In this service, I want to talk about quickly, with the time that we have, this third soil, this third heart. It's the weedy heart. This is one which Jesus is going to step back in, and notice how he interprets it for us in verse 22. He says, as for what was sown, read it, church, among what? Thorns. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves what? So this is the reminder that the word of God in your life is to be fruitful. This is not information in, information out. This is a seed that bears fruit. But because of the condition of this heart, it is a thorny heart. It is an untouchable heart. You got somebody like that in your life? He just doesn't communicate. She just won't let you get close to her. I mean, she's just closed off. She gets that look on her face. I just know to leave her alone. That sound familiar? That means there's an issue with my heart. He says that this is a thorny heart, that the pleasures of life win over Christ. This is a person who hears the word, but the cares of the world choke it out. What does the world care about? Talk to me. Money, power, success, comfort, anything else? Now, are these in and of themselves bad things? No, Jesus spent more time talking about hell and money than in any other subject. Is comfort a bad thing? No, not in and of itself. That's why the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, who is the greatest comforter, so that we wouldn't be blinded and choked out by that which will never bring comfort. You ever ate a bag of M&M's when you were stressed and went, that's the last one I'm ever going to have? Now you got it on monthly repeat from Amazon now, don't you? Amazon Prime dude's like, hey, can I get one now? I'm hungry. Cares of the world, they want success. We're trying to assert ourselves in some way, and somehow or another, the cares of the world choke out the gospel seed. Whereas if we'd let the gospel grow, we would see that we're to be in the world, not of the world. But the reason why we're to be good financial stewards and great at our job and great at the things that we've been called to is that God gets glory from it. And where he gets glory, he draws people out of darkness into light. And when he draws them out of darkness and they realize there's a better way to live, they're going to start asking you questions. Well, what's different about you? And then you're going to have one answer, the cross. The cross. What's different about your marriage? The cross. What's different about your kids? The cross. What's different about the church you go to? We preach the cross. But then he says the deceitfulness of riches. Now, look, I'm going to tell you, there have been times in my life and when mine and my wife where things have been very, very slim. And then times where margins have been good. And then they're slim again. And then they've been good. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? But there is something about when the margins are fat and the margins have cushions that it begins to change you. You have a tendency to think that you are safe because you have enough. How many of y'all remember when COVID hit and you couldn't get inside your bank? That was a little odd, wasn't it? I remember telling my wife, go get all the cash that we can have and still pay our bills electronically. Because you only got a few things in this life to barter with. Your body's not one of them. Well, I could if I was on an island with zombies. They'd eat for a while. My family would be okay for a while. But there's something about when the margins are good, you have a tendency to think you're safe. Because think about it. Ever been laid off? Ever lost your job? Ever had some big purchases happen one after the other, and all of a sudden you get real nervous for a couple weeks. You get real honest with your prayer group, which I pray for us. We're just really going through it right now. Don't know how we're going to make it. It's real tight. The deceitfulness of wealth says because you have options, you're better off. I remember the days of being in the grocery cart in line when the kids were little, and here's this $99 formula that we got to buy, and here goes back the steak. But there's something about when you got the decision whether you can stop at Cookout or whether you can stop at Bojangles or whether you can stop at Chick-fil-A or you can go over here to the pub or get you a Longhorn Texas Roadhouse steak, that there's something about you that you kind of feel a little bit better than others, don't you? You always tell this. This is a good measure for this. Did you ever hit the red light about the same time someone on a moped's next to you? You don't call them mopeds. You call them liquor sickles, right? I'm from the 1900s, y'all. Just forgive me. Y'all don't know what a liquor sickle is? It's the person that lost their driver's license because they've had too many DWIs. Now, the question is that when you look at that person, do you go, poor fool? When it's raining, you say, boy, I'm glad I'm not them. When it's super scorching hot, it's like, thank God for this air conditioning. But when you look at them, do you have a tendency to go, Father, thank you in all my big sins and all my goof-ups. You didn't let me go too far. You hem me in. Maybe you even look at them and go, Lord, maybe that guy's got it figured out. I'm over here paying $3.79 for diesel fuel, and he's riding all day long. Maybe he's a billionaire. Change my heart, oh Lord. There's something about the deceitfulness of wealth that when you have this or that, that you feel like you are somebody. When the gate opens for you, when the line is a lot faster for you. The deceitfulness of wealth has a way of saying, well, you can buy your way out of it. When you feel like you can buy your way out of it, look, purchasing power is something else. If you ever own your own business, the goal of a business is to have purchasing power. It's that when you paid for all your stuff and you got stock, and you got surplus, that when the salesman comes to you to try to get you to buy, you have purchasing power. He's got to come down on his price if he wants you to buy. The other thing is that when you're ready to buy, you pick up the phone, you don't have to wait on him or her. They're there because they know you pay your bills. Purchasing power is pretty powerful. But the problem is that the longer you stand in the front of the line, you have a tendency to think that the line is about you. Instead of using your place in the line to bless those who are behind you, you just get used to them bragging on you and waving at you as you stroll on past them. It's the deceitfulness of wealth. And it'll grow to the point where you actually think you're above the rules, that you can make up the rules and you don't need the rules. It's amazing as I watch believers grow in their life and in their lifestyle, and they have a change of demographics, and all of a sudden they don't need the Word of God. They actually don't even need church. They don't need somebody telling me what to do. I haven't done a half bath for myself. Now, they'll claim God's blessings, but there's not a lot of obedience in it. Be careful of the deceitfulness of wealth, because why? He says it chokes out the seed. What Jesus is likening all these things to are weeds. You know, weeds are an invasive plant. I mean, have you ever gone out and just planted weeds? Not weed, weeds. You know, be careful, I'm in 2024. Have you ever gone out and just, you know, ever walked into the hardware store, ever walked into the gardening store and said, if you have a packet full of weeds, I'm fresh out of them. Well, I know you got dispensaries. I'm not talking about that weed. Weeds are invasive. They'll literally take over a whole garden. It's something that we didn't plant. But somehow or another, they get planted. Let me drop a footnote here and help you understand this. If the enemy cannot snatch the seed, he'll scatter weeds. If the enemy cannot snatch the seed of the Word of God, he will scatter weeds in your garden. Now, how do these weeds get planted? I think at least by two ways. Sometimes, like especially with dandelions, and the wind will blow so strong that it will, as that weed bears its own seed, the wind will blow it. And it'll blow it to a new property. How many of you have ever tried to have perfect grass and your neighbor doesn't care about their grass at all? Drives me insane. Despise clover. my neighbor's got it, as long as my neighbor doesn't care about it, or I don't have enough money to start doing his lawn care, I'm going to have clover. Because it blows. And when you think about that spiritually, we ever heard the statement, the winds of change? You need to be careful what the wind brings into your yard, into your garden. You ever driven by a restaurant, a barbecue restaurant or somewhere, and you smell it? Oh, man. Ooh, that smells good. Right? Be careful what wind of change brings a scent or drops a seed in your yard. You say, Pastor, that doesn't make sense to me at this point. What are you talking about? Ever had your kids come in and go, well, their parents bought them a new cell phone. They can play online. They let them watch that. We'll go live with them. This is our house. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But that wind of change sometimes puts you on a pressure. You start feeling bad. You get under the gun. You're already tired from work. You're already tired from the condition of your marriage. And now your kids are on you. So what's a $500 cell phone? Your child may not be ready for that. And even if you put it in their hands, you better be checking it all the time. The wind of change is you get somebody in the office and they're going through marriage trouble, and finally you hear your friends say, we're done. I'm done. And they begin to tell you all the things that they've endured now for 15 or 20 or 25 years, and that wind of change blows in, and that breeze is familiar because you live through the same stuff. It's never entered your mind at all that you would ever, ever think about terminating your marriage or stepping out on your marriage or doing something that you shouldn't be doing. And now that wind of change, instead of it seeming like scorching heat or like sewage blowing through, it seems refreshing to you. It's intriguing. It is temptation. The wind of change. The wind of change that comes through politically sometimes. The wind of change that comes through socially sometimes. Amazes me, more and more people that I went to seminary with do not believe in God's original plan and design for humanity for a man and a woman, and have traded it for the worship of things and worship of our own image. Listen, I want to tell you straight up, every person that is in this room and watching online came from a woman. Because men don't ovulate and men don't have vaginas. If that offends you, be offended in the name of Jesus. The health and the happiness of humanity is promulgated by a man and a woman in union before God, and marriage is a God thing. The reason it is a God thing, because there are only a few things in Scripture that can be many and one at the same time. The first is the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The second is the church and the body, the church. Christ is the head, we are the body, we are one. And the third is, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and what? Cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one. It's the only union God said, that's what I approve on, and they become one. It's a God thing. But the wind of change comes through and says you can identify as anything you want to. Now, I'm not a hater. Again, I wish I had a cool British accent. I really wish I did. Because when I would speak with an Irish accent or something different than what I have, people go, he's brilliant. Oh, my God, I just love Brian Burgess's teaching. I listen to him all day. When you sound like me, they're like, he's a hater. He's just another southerner, closed-minded bigot. No, I'm not. I'm directed by the Word of God, and it's fruitful. And because of Christ, I love people who even don't think like I think. And will work to help them fight the wind of change. You know how else weeds are planted? They're planted by other birds recycling what they ate. Called guano. A better word is poop. I'm sorry to say that, Pastor Jeff. Hang here with me. The funny thing is, have you ever gone to the Brevard Zoo or gone to a zoo somewhere in the world and ever been there with, or ever been on a farm And either the elephants or the cows and the bulls decided it was time to go to the bathroom. How obvious was it that they were relieving themselves? Pretty obvious. That's a mess, isn't it? But how many of you ever been sitting on the front porch or the back porch, seeing that bird land on your fence post or on your antenna of your car? You could just spot they were relieving themselves. You can't, unless you got binoculars. Like, oh, wow, they just went to the bathroom, right? Now, you can't ever tell until when, until they left. You ever look at the eaves of your porch. You look on your car windshield. And it becomes very obvious then. The problem is it's too late. They've already sown their seed. And it's a weed. See, I know this is real because people come to me and they say words like this. Pastor, I just feel like my whole family's dumping on me. I feel like my husband just dumps on me. He expects me to do everything. I just feel like he's pooping on me all the time. I feel like my wife, she just doesn't appreciate anything. It's just do this, do this, do this, and I never do it right. I just feel like I'm getting dumped on. My kids, they just one thing after another. I'm just a walking, talking Uber ATM machine. I just feel so dumped on them by them. My job, Pastor, I just feel like my new boss is just dumping on me all the time. You ever been there? Do you sound familiar? What are you really saying? There are seeds that are being sown in me that I'm allowing to grow into weeds. Weeds consume all the nutrients. Weeds grow faster because they're worthless. It takes a while to grow an oak tree. It takes a while to grow a healthy plant because growth is a process and growth is hard. It's difficult. And they'll take over an entire life and choke out the real produce from God's table. So, Pastor, how do you see this? Let me try to do this as quick as I can. Can I give you some practical application of this? Let me show you how I see weeds in people's lives before we go. I touched on some of this last night because some of you guys weren't here. I see sometimes people come to them and they talk about the weeds of their life, of their past. They just cannot get over their past. Their past is so much shame. Maybe there's sin. And all of us have sinned. And sometimes there are real consequences for sin. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The consequences for the decisions you made. Think about the prodigal son. There are two sons that are lost in that parable. One's lost at home being the good guy. And one's lost in the foreign country. The one that's lost at home was just doing everything he was supposed to do. That was supposed to win the favor of his father, but he never could enjoy the blessings of his father. He's lost. But the other one said, look, you're as good as dead to me. Give me my inheritance. Goes to the foreign country, and while he's feeding pigs, what does the Bible say? Does anybody remember? And he came to his senses, and he confessed, even my father's servants are fed better than me. And he made his way home, not to be a son, but to simply be a servant. And his father received him, but the truth is, he still spent his what? His inheritance. So while the grace of God is sufficient for the forgiveness of your sins, the truth is that sometimes sins have consequences. Most all the time, they have consequences. Some just last a little longer. Does that make sense? And so I watch individuals sometimes because of their past and the shame that's there, they just can't ever get over. And they allow these weeds to grow. They never believe anything good could happen in their life. They never believe that they could really be loved, that they could really be cared for, that somebody could really be honest with them, there really could be a better family structure. There could be, maybe they got hurt at their old job. Maybe they did things they weren't supposed to. Maybe because of what was done to you, you have a difficult time trusting now. And it's always there. That weed is always growing. It's always growing. It's always growing. And you just keep plucking. And this is where if it's sin in your past, I want to encourage you to ask forgiveness of it. 1 John 1:9, if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's out of his character, who he is, that he'll wash away that sin and he will cleanse you from it. That word cleanse means to burn away the affection. It's katharizo. In the ancient world, if you had an infection, they didn't have antibiotics. They had a hot iron rod. And they would lay it across the infection. That would heal the infection, but it burned the feeling to it. And that's what some of us need in our temptations, is God, burn the feeling of this to where I'm no longer drawn to it. Sometimes I watch people have weeds from temptation. They're drawn to the repeated thing. And the worst part is that they have a diet of weeds. We have an unbalanced diet. We've gotten so used to weeds, we don't know what the real thing tastes like. We've been so used to eating generic, we don't know what the real label tastes like. When I was a kid, we were so poor, we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken to lick other people's fingers. As a kid, I loved cereal. My favorite cereal was Rice Krispies, these three little Keebler elves in a tree. And when you pour that bowl, when that milk touched those little bitty small biscuits, it gave a symphony of what? Snap, crackle, and what? Pop. But we never got any of those. We got puffed rice. Even the elves looked weird, like their ears were folded over like Shamu. And on a Saturday morning, man, when you went to pour some puffed rice in that milk hit, nothing happened. They just disappeared. It was like Soggy Bottom Boys. Man, if you would have brought in some Rice Krispies right then, it wasn't that I want to disrespect my mama, but I'd have eaten them Rice Krispies way faster than I would have eaten those puffed rice. Some of us don't know the difference because we've had such a long tenure of weeds. Sounds odd when we bring real produce to the table from God's hand. Sometimes I watch comparison. There's apples be weeds in our lives. The comparison is never apples to oranges. That's easy. We can decipher that. It's apples to what? Some of us are like, well, I'm just a Granny Smith apple, Pastor. I'm kind of sour and tart. You have to acquire a taste for me. But now she's a red delicious. Oh, their marriage is a red delicious. Oh, their kids are red. Mine are sour. And then we started, I wish my husband was like her husband. I wish my wife was like his wife. I wish my church was like their church. I wish I had what they had. I wish I could pray like them. I wish I could give like them. I wish I had a job like them. And here's the point. Comparison always destroys Christ-likeness. Because if I'm always comparing myself to them, then I can't authentically be who Christ has called me to be. And so instead of tending my garden, looking at theirs, I let the weeds grow up. Sometimes the weeds are escape. Escape. I just want to get away from it all. And so you do that with your binging of Netflix, and reading books over and over, never getting involved, never stepping forward. Some of you are like, hey, as soon as I can retire, I'm off the grid. You're not going to hear from me. I asked the men yesterday, how many times do you know someone who saved up all the money they could save, they retired, and 2 months later they died? And even their kids couldn't enjoy what they left them because they never became stewards because it was always about an escape. Don't waste your life like that. Oh, I'll just quit this marriage. I'll go find another one. Look, sometimes the only thing that changes is your dress. Because the weeds you were growing over here, you'll take over here. Sometimes the weeds are like the house, the life I've always wanted. How many of you would say that the life you're living now is way better than the life that you grew up with? Like you got way more than what you had. Yeah, first house Angie and I bought, like when I walked into it, I stopped at the threshold of the door and she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I feel like I should have bought Mom and Daddy a house before I bought mine." She said, "Brian, this is what God's blessed us with. I know." I said, "But I would have never dreamed that I could have started out in a house like this." But you know what I found over the years with ministering to people is that the life you always wanted, you wind up getting the life you always wanted, but you still want more out of life. And so the weeds grow. It's never contentment. Paul told Timothy to instruct the rich, godliness plus contentment equals great gain. And sometimes the greatest of weeds is that little cut out of the family, the picture perfect family. How many of you have a perfect family? There's only one perfect family on the is the earth, and that's the church. And we're only perfect because we've got a great Father and we're covered in His righteousness. If you're raising a picture-perfect family and the pressure's on for the grades and the pressure's on for the athletics and the pressure's on to have a good face, what do you do when they fail? What do you do when your son comes home and he finally confesses, I want to kill myself? What do you do when things don't turn out, like morally things happen differently or you hadn't slept in the same bed with your wife for several months just because you, not because it's snoring, because you just can't stand one another? You see those weeds growing, so you hide. And the weeds grow even more. And this is where you need a body of Christ, where you can dig into and say, hey, we're not picture perfect like I thought we'd be. And you've shared your testimony. Can you help me cut down these weeds so we can be redeemed? So God's hand will be upon us. Wherever the devil can't snatch the seed, he'll spread weeds. Let me speak to young fathers for just a second in this picture perfect family. I was there. I have some very skilled and talented athletes. I have one that's a Division I. But in the early days, I put too much pressure on them. And it took me years to realize it. Now, thank God, I've been able to recover it. But they know when I sit in the stands, I am their best fan. Win, lose, or draw, we're going to play for the glory of God. And I'm not going to miss it because I love you. I know you're going to do your best because you're a Christian, you're a COG, you're a child of God, and because you're a Burgess, you're supposed to. But outside of that, I'm here to cheer you on. Young dad, let me tell you this before we go. If you're spending more time focused on their swing than you are their walk with Christ, then when they fall, don't you dare blame your youth pastor. You got more focus on their bench press and their 40 than they do how they can resist a 40. And don't you dare blame your pastor. Go forward, me, young man. You realize that your kid has only a 0.0296% chance of being a major league athlete, but they got a 100% chance of standing in front of Jesus. So which one are you preparing them for? Which one are you helping prepare your grandchildren for? So what do we do with this? Let me close with this because I'm way over my time at this point. How do we weed? How do we go to work at weeding? Go forward. Number one, sow the Word of God. Daily get vitamin B-I-B-L-E. That is the concoction I need. You have to sow the Word of God so that the Word will not be choked out by the weeds in your life. And as you sow it, you'll become very aware of the weeds because what you're sowing is way too costly to be choked out by that which really doesn't matter. To weed, I want to encourage you to always keep eternity before you. What do you mean by that, Pastor? One day you're going to stand in front of God. Keep that in front of you. Keep eternity, that you are a citizen of a different world if you are a Christian, that you belong to a different world with different rules. Keep that in front of you. But I tell you, to do that, you got to eradicate one thing in your life, and it's called busyness. Busyness will make you overlook weeds, and it will make you think this is all there is. It is not. There is a kingdom and a city that I'm looking for, whose founder and maker and builder is the Lord Jesus. Begin to live with the glory of God as your goal. Every part of your life, whether it's folding towels, cleaning dishes, keeping a household, making connection with your spouse, being attentive with your children, students being attentive with your parents, being a part of this church, make the glory of God your goal. And that glory, God's glory, will wilt some weeds away. And then begin to look for the fruit. Look for the fruit because the Word of God is to make you fruitful. And if there's no fruit in your life, then you can be sure it's wherever the enemy can't snatch the seed, he will spread the weeds. But you have a Savior who's got a great way of rooting him out of your garden. And all God's people say. Pray this with me. Jesus, weed out my heart that it may be fruitful for you. In Jesus' name.